G'day, Bulldog. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, boys. Clarky, I just heard you talking about mustache. And Laurie said he'd never grow one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one thing. If he did, it'd stay nice and dry under that beak.
It's funny you say that, Bulldog.
Wouldn't need an umbrella, you reckon?
I'm just reading. Gee, I'll tell you what.
Sorry, Robert Redford.
Yeah. You cop it on the text line, Loz.
Yeah,
good morning, boys. Hey, Loz, it'd be one hell of a tash to be seen under that snoz of yours. Cheers, EJ, for sending that through. If you get a dog, you have
Bulldog
to call it Laurie's nose. We'll never lose a photo finish, says Nathan from Mittagong. Poor Loz.
No, it's all good stuff. All good stuff.
So talking
of head, Jim Bulldog,
can I start with your head?
But you say that now, when you get off here, you'll give me a gob.
Yeah.
No, you're going to hit on you like a smashed crab. So I'm okay when I go up against you.
Oh, now it's getting perfect.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We'll sit back here, Clarky.
Yeah, I love seeing
I've never
someone
seen a
give
good-looking
it to Loz.
Redhead.
The narc is off, Loz. He's smacking me, so give it to him. Bulldog, give it to him.
Now, speaking of firing up, Bulldog, why is the bagging of the Roosters firing you up?
Oh, you know what, Jared, I'm just a bit over it. I'm over mostly fans, not so much opposition players, just ripping into them every week. Same old stuff. Salary cap, you know, a legend rorting, calling Nick Politis names. I'm just fed up with clubs, supporters, going after the Roosters. How about they stop making excuses and maybe push their own clubs to try to attain the consistent and elite levels that the Roosters have achieved? Look, you go back, guys. They've won two in a row. If they win three and they are already outright favourites, you can go back to some of the great rugby league teams of all time. And, Laurie, I include your Raiders side through that. You had the Brisbane in the 90s, the Roosters, Jack Gibson side in the 70s, Churchill's side with South, of course, the great St George sides in the 50s and 60s. If the Roosters go three-peat, they should be regarded right up there. So I think it's about time we started lauding excellence here and a great, great football team rather than trying to drag them down by supporters of sides who can't compete each week and don't have the professionalism of the Roosters.
Yeah, I agree, Dan. Now, when I look through this Roosters team, and if people want to suggest that they're over the salary cap, I can't see how they're over the salary cap, to be honest with you. I think if you look through a lot of their players, like Daniel Tupu, he wouldn't be on massive money. They've picked up Josh Morris for a steal. Brett Morris, when he came to the club, not too many teams wanted to pay him big money. You've got Kyle Flanagan, who wouldn't be on a great deal of money. You've got Sam Verrills in the squad, Isaac Liu in the squad, Nat Butcher in the squad, Lindsay Collins in the squad, Tupu Nua in the squad, Lachlan Lamb in the squad, Mitch Orbison. These are all that have been named in the top 20 this week too, by the way. There's a lot of players there that wouldn't be on massive money.
And they've got rid of Latrell and Cooper Cronk from last year too, Laurie. So, you know, the money they did outlay this year for whoever, Kyle Flanagan, you know, they had the money there in the cap. You lose Mitchell and Cronk probably worth about 1.6, 1.7 between them. And look, they get scrutinised as much as everybody else. To suggest that the Roosters have an easy run is just ridiculous. You know, they're under as much salary cap scrutiny as every other club in the game. They just use it to the best of their ability. Players want to play there. And Trent Robinson, you know, let's start talking about him in an elite level too. He's won three comps in, 6 years, Laurie? I mean, where does that put him in history? Surely it puts him right up there. And he's only young, Robbo. He'd only be, mid-40s. He potentially has got another 10, 15 years to go.
Yeah, he has, and he's created a good football program. That's why people want to go there. And most players that go and play with the Roosters, it's like going to a Melbourne Storm. When you go there, you improve your football and you become a better player. And that's what it's all about. It's also about having success. So all those players that have come through the system, all those players that have been bought into the system have all done extremely well. So it says something about their footy program under Trent Robinson. So I can understand the jealousy, though, of teams and supporters. That's what rugby league is built on. You don't want to stop that.
And it's all sport as well.
You don't want to put a stop to people having a crack at the opposition. I think it makes good fun, but you've got to have your facts right.
And it's all sport, Loz. Like, you think back to that great team Steve Waugh captained. It was nearly like the Australian fans didn't like them because of the brand of cricket they played. Yeah. But it was because they never lost. The game wasn't, you know, you turn up to the game and it was like, Australia's going to win.
Yeah.
Yet when you lose every game, it's like, sack him, sack her, coach has got to go, captain's got to go. So it's a hard middle ground.
It's always a hard middle ground. Again, but that's part of sport, and you'll always have it. You'll always have a team when they start to be too successful, everyone wants to chop them down.
Yeah.
Bulldog, you've written today about Canberra working with the NRL and the government on returning to GIO Stadium earlier than, well, what was originally slated.
Yeah, they've got the jump on the rivals, it appears, Jared. All clubs were told originally that they'd be back by around 10. The Raiders, though, have written to the ACT government and the NRL to try to duck back down there to GIO Stadium by round 8. They've been playing, of course, out of Campbelltown. So if approved, and they expect it to be approved, that would put the Raiders as the first of the travelling clubs to get back home. The Brumbies have got a game on July 4, the day after, and they expect approval from the government just yet. Just two quick hurdles, though. One, the broadcasters have to sign off on a return to all home grounds. I don't think that would be a problem. And the ACT government has still got to put a percentage on crowds. The New South Wales government has said it will be about 25% capacity under stadiums of 40,000, but the ACT government yet to put a crowd figure on GIO Stadium. But I spoke to a couple of the Raiders players yesterday, men, and they just said, look, you know, we'd play in front of nobody if that's what it takes to get back to our home territory.
Did you ask Bulldog at all whether they'd be prepared, if they didn't get the OK off the ACT government, maybe to shift a couple of games to Seaford Oval in Queanbeyan?
It was discussed previously, Laurie. I think it was more an NRL decision not to go there. But as you say, Seaford is, of course, in Queanbeyan, which is in New South Wales. So that's the point, obviously, you're making, Loz. And it's a valid point. Look, it's not their home ground, and it's got a bit of work to do in terms of the broadcasters. I think that was the issue there, Laurie, whether it was up to the standards we need. But look, if you're not playing in front of crowds, who really cares where you play?
Bulldog, what about Josh Addo-Carr? Obviously, there's a number of teams chasing his signing. Who looks likeliest at the moment?
Yeah, he's going to be issued an early release at the end of the year, Clarkie, from Melbourne Storm. Obviously, being an elite player, there's a few clubs lining up. The Bulldogs, I wrote a few days ago, have certainly had internal discussions about the possibility of luring him to Belmore. They don't have a lot of speed in that back line, so he would be the ideal acquisition. West Tigers, I'm told, would also be interested, albeit they were the club that let him go in the first place. Mm. But South Sydney and his friendship with Latrell Mitchell still remains the key here. And if South can find the room in the salary cap for Josh Addo-Carr, I think they would still be favourites. Some in rugby league are suggesting he could pull $600,000 a year, but I don't know too many wingers out there. And Loz, you can probably join in here, who would pull 600. I think Blake Ferguson's about the highest paid winger on about 550, but generally the ceiling for a player payment, if you are in fact a winger, is about 500,000 tops.
Bradman Best, Newcastle going to secure him after they're, well, virtually going to secure Caelan Ponga until the end of 2024?
Yeah, first Ponga, Jared, that $4.4 million deal, which you guys have discussed, keeps him in rugby league until he's 26 years old. So a real vote of confidence there for Adam O'Brien, the new Newcastle coach. And now they'll turn their attention to Best. Look, he's under contract until the end of 2022. So he's still got another 2.5 years to go. But clearly in the first few weeks of this year, we've seen what potential this kid shows. He's an absolute brute on the field. He's got a body that is just bulldozing. And he will become a genuine superstar of the game, Bradman Best. And I think you'll find now that Newcastle will open talks to try and extend him, like they did with Ponga, long term and lock him down for the next 4, 5, or even 6 years.
And the Bulldogs' new signing, Luke Thompson's arrived in Australia. He's down there isolating in Melbourne before he makes his debut for the Doggies?
Yeah, he's down there at the moment, Laurie, just preparing in isolation. It was an interesting story, though, that came out of England. They gave him a real kick up the backside on the way out. And when I say they, I mean the St. Helens boss, Eamon McManus. It didn't get a lot of airplay out here, but he was quoted saying that St. Helens had been placed in a difficult position as Luke Thompson had opted not to participate in our club-wide squad and staff pay reduction arrangement for 2020. Therefore, they have let him go. So, very strange situation that Luke Thompson, if you believe what Eamon McManus said, chose not to take a pay cut while all his teammates did. So, obviously, that's got the backup of the St. Helens club. McManus has come out quite strongly. So, a bit of a shame. I think Thompson was a great St. Helens player and very well regarded over there, particularly after grand final wins. But it's a bit of a shame he's gone out with what would appear to be on a sour note.
And you've written for the Daily Telegraph today that they still haven't given up, the NRL this is, about having Origin in Adelaide and also the crackdown from the referees on players and potentially using the sin bin a little bit more.
Yeah, I made a few calls yesterday, Laurie. I found it really interesting that Adelaide game, the South Australian government has committed $6 million to have that game down there at the Adelaide Oval. It would make it the richest rugby league game ever played. I also found it interesting that as much as they want to promote rugby league in Adelaide, they don't really want tens of thousands of Adelaide fans in the stadium. They want the people coming across, the fans, the punters from the eastern states, because they are the ones that will bring the money into Adelaide. Now, the ground holds 53,000. They're hoping, if it goes ahead, that at least half of those seats could be taken up by fans from the eastern states. And their research indicates that it would cost them $6 million to run the game, but they could pull in $18 million for Origin. So yet again, Loz, just proving that State of Origin financially has to be played this year. We've still got a couple of hurdles to go through in terms of whether the crowds can appear at Adelaide Oval and whether cricket can be moved off the stadium temporarily. But if it does go ahead, it would be extremely lucrative for rugby league.
India, they might have a say in that.
They have a say in everything.
Good on you, Bulldog.
Another story, Loz, before I go. Yeah,
go for it.
Graham Annesley put an edict out last night, just clamping down on the play the ball, on the 10 metres, professional fouls. And I think Annesley's done a really good job there. He's obviously seen a few things in the last 2 weeks with these new rules that coaches are starting to find ways to slow the game down and manipulate rules and loopholes, et cetera, et cetera. And he's got ahead of the game nicely here, Annesley, and just warn them, you know, if you want to bring the game down, if you want to slow it down, you'll have players in the sin bin. And if you do have players in the sin bin, don't come to us whinging.
It's going to be a fascinating round to see if that is what actually transpires. But we'll be watching with interest, Bulldog. Great to talk to you as always, mate.
This is the Smash Crab signing off.